China's heap of foreign cash.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. China's foreign currency reserves hit an eye-popping $1 trillion this week. That's the most money ever held by a single country. Today, the head of China's central bank said it would diversify that cash across different currencies and investments in emerging markets. That's setting off alarm bells here in the U.S. Marketplace's Steve Tripoli explains.
At least two-thirds of China's reserves are said to be in dollars. Foreign exchange expert Michael Malpighi is with Man Financial. He says a quick sell-off of even a fraction of those holdings could reverberate.
The obvious ramification would be is you would have a sharp dollar decline, which would cause a spike up in interest rates and maybe a sharp decline in equity markets.
The U.S. and China would lose big from that, so China's likely to diversify slowly. But the nightmare scenario is that if the dollar starts declining, other holders of dollars might rush to sell, and that could trigger a panic.
I don't know if anybody on the planet can say that it's not going to happen, but the central bankers are well aware of what the situation is.
So any panic-induced sell-off would almost have to be inadvertent. But as worldwide trade imbalances grow more gigantic, Malpighi says the panic scenario becomes less far-fetched.
I'm a little bit concerned that we have an abundance of complacency that it won't happen.
I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Drug company stocks were a drag on Wall Street. The Dow fell 73 points, 0.6% to 12,103. The Nasdaq dropped 8 points, 0.4% to 2376. The S&P 500 was down 0.5% to 1378. Investors are worried the new Democratic Congress will try to curb drug prices. You ever try to search something on the web, but you just didn't have the right words to describe it? Well, there's a new website that lets your eyes do the searching. Amy Scott has more.
Like.com bills itself as the first truly visual search engine. Say you like a necklace Beyoncé wore on Good Morning America? Just click on a photograph to find others like it and places you can buy them. Rather than searching for text, Like.com scours the web for images similar in shape, color, and texture. Danny Sullivan edits Search Engine Watch. He says the service opens all kinds of possibilities for how people search.
It's not difficult in the case of celebrities a lot of times to know what it is they're wearing. Much harder that I saw an interesting item or I've got this song that's in my head and I don't know who wrote it.
Like.com's got some competition. The search engine Blinx uses voice and image recognition technology to help users find videos. And a company that specializes in face recognition was recently bought by none other than Google. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Delta just turned in its profit report from the third quarter, and yes, it actually made a profit, $52 million. That's a big deal since the airline lost more than $1 billion during the same quarter last year. Krispy Kreme, on the other hand, gave us three quarters of overdue earnings statements, three straight losses totaling $98 million. This is Marketplace. A bunch of techies gathered in San Francisco this week for a Web 2.0 summit. Their focus, how to turn some of the hot new websites into cash cows. Here's Rachel Dornhell.
One of the organizers of the summit, Tim O'Reilly, coined the term Web 2.0 a few years ago. He says it refers to the way software applications are becoming less about the PC and more about the internet.
They're becoming almost like living things. They're in a dynamic conversation with their users.
Think YouTube or Facebook. But the big change at this year's conference, says software consultant Stephen O'Grady, is that there aren't just creative ideas floating around.
They're good ideas with business models. Now, these business models may or may not work, but at least that's the plan.
Given the pace of technology, those models better be far-sighted. A Web 2.2 conference takes place today, and if you Google Web 3.0, you get over 1 million hits. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Society for Human Resource Management's Building Profit Through Building People, a new book exploring HR contributions to business, financial, employee, customer, and shareholder success. SHRM.org. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. How much does a pair of jeans cost? 30, 40 bucks? Yeah, that's the low end these days. Try $200 for some of the fancy denim that's out there now. The jeans business is pretty hot for investors, but it could be peaking. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Total denim sales reached about $15 billion last year. That's a hefty 10% of all women's sportswear sales. But the jeans market wasn't always so lucrative. Simon Dunins, the creative director at upscale department store Barney's, apparently he says there was a time when nobody who was anybody wore jeans.
There was nothing more ungroovy than a pair of jeans. In the 90s, everyone wore black pants. They wore bootcut pants.
So what set off this latest denim frenzy? A number of brands and designers are still fighting over that mantle. But you could blame or thank Chris Gilbert. In 1999, he started Paper Denim and Cloth. The company treated jeans with special washes, made each pair by hand, and charged a few hundred dollars for them. Gilbert says his company took off when Hollywood noticed.
Various celebrities started wearing the brand. We got the best accounts, and from there, everything just took off.
30-year-old Gilbert claims he invented the premium denim trend. But Dunin says haute couture jeans are part of an old fashion cycle. During the 1970s disco craze, Sassoon, Fiorucci, and Calvin Klein jeans pulled in over $100 a pair. This time around, the famous brands have more purposeful names. Seven for All Mankind, True Religion, Citizens of Humanity. Dunin says it's hard for shoppers to keep up.
There's this sort of internet underground fever to identify the next groovy denim. And if you're wearing the one that's not groovy anymore, then it really marks you as somebody who's sort of gone a bit dusty.
Maybe it's that pursuit of undustiness that keeps expensive jeans among the fastest-growing segments of the retail market. The craze even caught the attention of the investment community. Bear Stearns owns a 50% stake in Seven Jeans, and Berkshire Partners owns more than half of Citizens of Humanity. But analyst Brady Lemos with Morningstar says consumers' desire for high-end denim may be fading.
We are seeing saturation in the premium denim market. I think a lot of the new designers are seeing the success of a paper denim, for instance, and they think they can replicate that. So it's just introducing many new brands into the marketplace.
Taking the lead in a changing market, this fall, Paper reduced the price of its jeans. That got them booted out of Saks and Bloomingdale's. But the company's begun selling its jeans at Macy's for under $100. Lemos says that could double Paper's revenue, which the company says was around $50 million last year. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
It's part of
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.